The last few Sundays that I've had this pulpit, I've been talking a lot about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to continue that because we're moving ourselves towards Pentecost, and when the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles. And just as a quick review, I want to catch you up on a little background. I'll do the condensed Reader's Digest version with the last two Sundays I preached. Well, by the way, you can go online to praisecommunityfellowship.com and hear the past sermons. Right, Mark? Yes. And these three sermons do fit together. But if you want more about what this lesson is, you can go back and listen to the last two because they're all going together. But the review is the first time I talked about the Holy Spirit, we were talking about when Jesus called his disciples. He's walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he begins calling Peter, James, and John, all these fishermen. And these fishermen were asked to give up what they're doing and follow Jesus, and that's what they did. And the point of that whole sermon is that even though they had all these skills in fishing, of course, Jesus asked them to be fishers of men. They were out one night, and after Jesus had been crucified, Jesus shows up on the shore of Galilee, and they'd been out fishing all night and had not caught a thing, and Jesus tells them where to lower their nets. And the point of that is, because they are to be fishers of men, is that anyone involved in ministry, and we are all called to be ministers, we will not be effective unless we listen to Jesus or the Holy Spirit, which is given to us, into what we do, how we do it, where we do it. It's following the instructions of Jesus. That's when there's power. Because when they, even though they had fished all night with all of their knowledge of fishing, with all of their know-how of the weather and the seas, they had caught nothing, and yet they're coming in, and Jesus says, lower your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and they caught more fish than they knew what to do with. It's just giving the church and all of us an example is, listen, if we want the power of God in our life to bring others to Christ, that's what we're all called to do, we must do it only through the power of God, not in our own strength. And then the next week we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit when Philip, he's received the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's in Samaria, and the Samaritan people are flocking to him. And he's saving hundreds of people. He's having this amazing evangelistic event there. People are flocking. People are flocking to him. He's doing a great thing. People are coming to know the Lord. They're coming to a brand new type of religion, Christianity. It hadn't even been called that yet. And God speaks to him. The Holy Spirit speaks to Philip and says, listen, stop what you're doing and go out into the desert. Now, the last time I was here, I said the point was, look, would you imagine if Jackie and I were filling this place? They said, shut this down. The Holy Spirit told us, shut this place down, and I want you to go do something different. Would we listen? Probably not. And that's our issue today. We're not following the Holy Spirit because the reason the Holy Spirit wanted Philip to go meet the Ethiopian eunuch is because that with Philip following him and interpreting and giving him the gospel, that's what happened. Philip went and told him all about Jesus. The eunuch accepted Jesus Christ and then brought Christianity into Africa and probably brought thousands and thousands of people. God's plan for you and me is always the absolute right plan for us. The highest calling you can have in your life is to follow what the Holy Spirit prompts you to do, even sometimes when it doesn't make sense. And that is a tough thing to follow because we all have our own plans. We all have our own ways. We were set in our ways. And the Holy Spirit, many times, will shake us up. But I can tell you, if we follow the Holy Spirit, that is your highest calling. That's where peace comes. That's where God's reward comes. That's where the glory comes. So today, with that background, I'm going to take you to I'm going to go back while Jesus is still alive. And we're going to read about a guy in the Bible named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. You're probably familiar with this story, but we're going to look into this story a little bit deeper because in the story of Nicodemus that's found in John chapter 3, one of the things we'll read in there is the verse that all Christians know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him shall be saved. And we hear that, but what this story will do is give you context of what was going on and why that was spoken at that time. So it's a whole new way to look at that. But like every story in this Bible, there is so much, there's so much deep meaning. Always deep meaning. And it speaks, even though this was written several thousand years ago, it speaks to us today, especially in the church. My goal is somehow is to revitalize the church. I'm sure that's it's almost every pastor's goal. I don't know if it's every pastor's goal because I don't know every pastor. But we are called to revitalize the church, church being believers, so that more people can come to know Christ, because when you know Christ, your life changes. I guess if I had I wrote this down this morning. I said, if I had a title for a sermon, I guess I would call this How to Prepare Your House. And I don't really, titles don't really mean that much to me, but that came to me, How to Prepare Your House. That's what I'm going to call this today. But, you know, you can call things all kind of things, but it's kind of like if you bake a dessert and tell somebody this is going to be this wonderful, decadent chocolate pudding, fudge cake, yada, yada. You can call it whatever you want, and they bring it out, and it tastes terrible. You know, it doesn't matter what it's called. So I'm praying that the Holy Spirit's going to give meaning to this message today, even though I gave it a title, which is rare. So bear with me. Did you like that, Krista? You know, you need humor, but you also need to realize that these words, and I've mentioned this before, these words from the Bible that I'll be reading, I just love this. It means so much to me, is that the words from the Bible, and this is why I tell everybody, read your Bible every day, read your Bible every day, because these are seeds given by God, that every word in here is encoded with infinite spiritual wisdom. Infinite spiritual wisdom. And when you take these words and plant them in your heart, some of the seeds germinate right away. Some of them take a long time. Some of them are like acorns, like oak trees. And they may take a lifetime to develop. That's what I found in my life. But if you continue to plant these seeds in your life, you're going to have a garden of amazing spiritual abundance in your life, and that's where God's peace comes, regardless of what's going on the outside. And that's what this is going to be about. We're going to be talking about the spiritual world with the Nicodemus and Jesus encounter, and the physical world. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see, or in other words, for see would be understand, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus is thinking of everything physical, because the Jewish people, it was all about the law. It was physical things. What you did, it was all about actions and behaviors. So Nicodemus is essentially stuck in his religion. And his religion is keeping him from seeing the Messiah who's right in front of him that can and will change everything. So this is this conversation. You have a man lost in his religion, all his processes, all the things he does. And here you have the Savior of the world, which the religion had been looking for years, is speaking to him. And Nicodemus is not grasping. And Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, what does that mean? I've got down here in my notes in my Bible that what he's talking about, the water and the Spirit, that the water in this time was also a symbol of the Holy Spirit, but also meant physical birth. He says, if you're not born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, the physical, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born by the Spirit. It is a mystery. God sends His Spirit into us. It's a mystery. We can't see it. You can't necessarily touch it. But it comes into us in what that which empowers our spirit. Nicodemus answered him and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus kind of rebukes him in a way and says to him, aren't you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not know these things? What Jesus is saying, look, you know this Old Testament inside out and backwards. You know the words. You've been studying it your whole life, and you can probably rattle off most of it by memory. And yet you don't understand the spiritual things that I'm teaching you today. So Jesus answered and said to him, you are the teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things. So most assuredly, I say to you, we speak, whether it be the Holy Spirit or if he's talking of John the Baptist and himself, but he says, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. In other words, the Jews were rejecting the Messiah who's standing right before them. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, and the earthly things are that here is God standing before you. I'm in flesh. I've come to you in physical form. And you still, you can't even grasp that. How will you believe if I begin to tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that he whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So what Jesus just did was give Nicodemus the way to receive the power of God and the Holy Spirit. That was the gospel preached to Nicodemus by Jesus himself. You have to believe in the man that's going to be lifted up on a cross and die and shed his blood, and then the Holy Spirit will come to you. That's essentially what he's telling Nicodemus. And he does it in these terms, and he says it like this, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He adds that about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness is because he knew, as being a Pharisee, a Jew, he would totally should understand that. But Nicodemus is still having a hard time connecting the two. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. He's telling Nicodemus and the Jewish people, listen, it's here. If the time is now, believe. You can receive the power that is to come. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. Jesus is speaking of himself. Yet men love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. He's throwing back what's going on in religion at the time, the Jewish religion. They were lost in their religion. They were living in darkness, and here is the light, and they could not understand the light. This past week, I did a lot of studying and praying. I probably wrote about 3 sermons for today, and I wasn't sure which one I was going to present. This is the one that I felt led to do. And I want to talk to you a little bit about us today and looking at the disciples, Nicodemus, and how the Holy Spirit is so important to us as Christians. Nothing powerful, nothing miraculous can happen without God's Holy Spirit. All of us, every day, probably every hour, have two choices to make. It's like this split in the road. We have to choose, are we going to walk hand in hand with Jesus and listen to Him? Or are we going to go our own way and do our own plans and our own desires and do it our own thing? Now, a lot of Christians today, unfortunately, think there's a third choice. And the third choice would be, well, I believe in Jesus, but listen, I've got my life pretty much figured out. I know what I'm called. I know what I'm doing. I'm a man with a plan. I see the goal. I'm going for the prize. If I need Jesus, I will call on Him. But I've got it figured out. Things are good. I've got my school or whatever it is, my career. I've got it going on. And so what we end up doing is we're calling on Jesus when everything gets messed up. And trust me, I don't think we get out of this life without things getting messed up. Can we say amen to that? All of us, we know things get messed up. It's true in my life, I know that. So even though we think there's a third choice, there's really only two choices. You're either going to take Jesus by the hand and live by every word He says, or you're going to do your own thing. And then you're always constantly, you're in and out, you're in and out, you're in and out. And what we're doing is we're missing the blessing that's available when we stick with Jesus. There's something that happens when the Holy Spirit comes into you or you meet Jesus. Think about this. There's not one story in this Bible, Old Testament or New, that when God came to people, when the Holy Spirit came to people, when Jesus came to people, what is the consistent thing through all the people who reacted was their lives changed dramatically. Dramatically. I don't care what they were going through, who they were, when they met Jesus, accepted Jesus, and started walking with Jesus, the obvious thing that happens is your life changes dramatically. Let me give you a few examples. Think about the disciples. When Jesus called the disciples, most of them were fishermen. We don't even know what all of them did. There was a tax collector, a publican, a political activist is what he was. But just use the fishermen. That was the bulk of them. Think about that. These are ordinary people who had a routine in life. They were living life. They fished. They I'm sure they had a party once in a while. They ate their fish. They sold their goods. They got married. They did their thing. They laughed. They cried. They had suffering. And along comes Jesus. Imagine you're working in your job, whatever it is. Along comes Jesus and says, "Follow me. I will make you fishers of men." Well, when I look at that and you look at those disciples, the thing that happened is when the power of Jesus Christ came into their life, what changed? Everything changed. Their goals changed. Their desires changed. Their schedule changed. Their priorities changed. And their activities changed. Their life was rearranged completely. Now, were they called for a special purpose? Yes, but I can tell you this. If you allow the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ in your life, whether you're called to be in ministry or whatever it is, I can assure you, these things are going to change. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at the power of the Holy Spirit of meeting Jesus Christ. He was also a religious zealot. He thought he had it figured out. He was going to persecute this new sect coming up, these people, these crazy people following Jesus Christ. He was going to wipe them out, imprison them, beat them. He wanted that gone. He was doing what he thought was right in his heart, according to his religion. And it wasn't until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus that everything changed. And what changed for him? Everything. His goals changed. His desires changed. His schedules changed. His priorities changed. He did a 180. And look how it changed the world. The world can change when we accept the full power and the glory of God in our lives. It's unexplainable. It's like we're like Nicodemus many times. I don't understand this. Well, how do I get this power? What do I need to do? Kent, you're talking about the Holy Spirit. I want this power. I need change in my life. Well, it is a decision. It takes effort. I will tell you this, the more time you spend in reading the Bible and spending time praying, the more God will empower your life and things can change. Miracles can happen. And that is what makes Christianity so unique. We are a religion of power, not of words, but of power. We are to be changed people. And we wake up so many times so defeated in everything we try to do. I'm just going to give you a little personal thing about... I can give you so many examples in my life of how God has changed me. I'm going to give you a recent one. This past week, I get something called preventricular contractions in my heart. And it will wear you out. And basically, your heart's not beating right. And last night, about 2 a.m., if anyone have asked me, am I going to be here today, I'd have said, absolutely not. I'm going to be in an emergency somewhere. I'm going to be in an emergency room. Because I was feeling bad. And matter of fact, that was the third night in the row. For some reason at night, it gets bad. But I'm going to tell you about the power of prayer and what love does. What love does. Luckily, I'm married to a Christian woman who woke up with me and prayed over me. And also massaged my feet, my back. And God came into that. And I'm standing here today. I'm in perfect sinus rhythm. I haven't slept. But God, if you're not praying with your spouse, let me tell you, you're missing something. All of these changes I'm telling you about accepting the power of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you what it's all about. The bottom line is love. Love. And let me give you an example. Go back in your life, wherever you want to go. I don't have to go too far. But think about the time when you met that special person that you madly fell in love with. Love. That, you know, the he or the she, whatever. That person. Imagine a minute. Hopefully it's the person you're sitting next to. What happens to your life when that kind of love comes in your life? Your schedule changes. Your priorities change. Everything changes. What's important to you changes. Your goal changes. Why? You will do anything to be with that person and connect with that person. Right? I mean, think about the days when you were dating. You change everything for that person. I want to be with that person. Well, I was supposed to go here. No, I'm not doing that. I'm going to be with Bonnie tonight. I'm going to rearrange my schedule. Well, I was supposed to have band practice. Yeah, but I'm going to blow that off. I got to be with Bonnie tonight. You change everything because of love. It's love driven. And if we don't have the love of Jesus and understand what he did, he died on a cross for us. People say, you know, Kent, you're asking a lot. You want me to change my priorities. You want me to change my goals. Number one, I don't want you to do anything. I'm telling you that the power of the Holy Spirit will come into you and want you to... He will shift you around, trust me. When it's real, he will shift you around on what's important in your life. And some people say, man, that's an awful lot to ask. Well, let me ask you something. Who died for who? Who died for who? And when we miss that, we're missing the power of God. We miss that in our churches. We don't want to be like the old Jewish church where we just come out of obligation. We come together because we love God so much and we know that there's power in His Word. He can come into any broken life. Any broken life. He can fix things. You want to tell you something? There was a time when, because most of my life I've had these heart issues, there was a time in my life when that started going on, I was whacked out. I was scared to death. Man, am I going to die? See, it doesn't matter now. Because if I die, I'm going to be right in the hands of Jesus Christ. The glory is there. I have no fear. None. Zero. Nada. Nix. So many people go through this life living in fear. Oh, I got the diagnosis of that. I know there's a couple people here that have been through cancer. And luckily, every one of them, I know Jennifer and Jackie and Kathy and Donna, your daughter, and Linda. You know Jesus Christ, right? I'm going to tell you a little, I hope you don't mind, Jennifer. I went and saw Jennifer right before she went into her operation. She had the biggest smile on her face and gave me the thumbs up. Why? She knows Jesus. She knows the plan. It's just such a blessing to serve Jesus Christ. There's so many people here I know that have a testimony, that understand what God wants them to do. I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, if you bring Jesus in your life and you listen to Him, and He will fill you with that power of the Holy Spirit, your life is going to be different. But you, I'm going to tell you, I told you last time I was here, there is another power, the darkness power, that does not want that to happen. And He will do everything in His power to keep you from following Jesus Christ. That's what was going on, I believe, last night. Satan did not want me here. And man, I was this close. I even said, "Bon, I think I got to go to the hospital. I don't think I can do this anymore." She said, "Come here one more time." She laid her hands on me and she was praying, and I fell asleep. There is power in prayer and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what amen means, Floyd? It's a confirmation. It's I agree. I understand. I'm in with it. I want this. I know there's brokenness out there. Trust me. Go to God right now in your hearts. We're about ready to serve communion. Before you come up here, all you got to do is listen. For Jesus so loved the world. He died on a cross for you and I. And He did it for a reason. And so He said, "I must go look." In the Old Testament, God came to the people. And He came in many forms. He came as an angel. But while Moses in the desert, you know, He came and they built the Tent of Tabernacle. And He would speak and He spoke to Moses. He spoke to certain people. And then God sent His Son to us. And His Son came in the flesh. He was physical. So He could only physically be in certain places, whether He went to Samaria or on the Sea of Galilee, all the different places He went. And He preached and He said, "But I must go so that I can send the Spirit where you all can be part. I will live within you." And when Jesus lives within us, that is where the power comes from. You can't develop the power yourself. The power of the Spirit comes when you accept the power that Jesus gave us. And that is to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the power of God. That is what takes our fear. That's what gives us peace. It surpasses all understanding. Man, I could go on and on, but I know I'm getting late here. Jackie, come on up and let's prepare this table of grace. And by the way, we here at this beautiful church, we celebrate open communion, which simply means, look, you don't have to be a member. You don't have to. We just say, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And you can have that right now by repenting of your sins. Say, "Jesus, I need what Kent's talking about." Then come up and share in the table of grace. All are welcome.
Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you had so much love for humanity that you created your own Son to come and be an example and to promise to us that as we imitate, as we take the hand of Jesus, as we walk alongside and invite Jesus to be a part of our lives, that we too will be saved. And so in this holy meal, in this holy food, we give you thanks. We remember when Jesus was with His followers. The last night He chose to be with them. He chose to break bread. And He broke it and He said, "This is my body which is given for each of you. Each time you partake of this, remember me."
You know, when Jesus did what Jackie's saying, He used physical elements. Why? They were all Jewish people. That's what they understand. The law was all about the physical. And yet He was importing a new thing. It was representative of His body being broken for us and His blood being poured out for us. So He took the cup and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you to remission, the remission of all your sins." And we do this as often as you partake in this. To remember me and all the words that I've taught you. It's about love. I'm doing this out of love for all of you. So come, for all things are now ready. Sing this last song. Won't you pay attention to the words? All you have to do is ask. Ask, seek, knock. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. Here's what Jesus wants you to do today. He wants you to give Him the key to your house so He can give the key that He carries to His house to you. Let's sing together.